You probably have a lot of questions about the new coronavirus and our response to it. Well, from today, we'll be bringing you some strong information on those issues from some highly qualified people. Dr. Norman Swan from The Health Report and health reporter Tegan Taylor have a podcast. It's called CoronaCast. It goes out each weekday. And on today's episode, plenty of questions remain about how children are affected by the coronavirus, COVID-19, and how they transmit it. Well, a study from China has shed some light on this. It seems that kids are being affected by COVID-19 and the virus remains in their poo for much longer than you'd think. Tegan Taylor and Dr. Norman Swan dive in today's CoronaCast.
Hello, this is CoronaCast, a daily podcast that's all about answering your questions about coronavirus.
Hi, I'm physician and journalist Dr. Norman Swan, host of the Health Report on RN.
And I'm Tegan Taylor. I'm a health reporter here with the ABC Science Unit. Norman, it seems like governments around Australia are starting to make big movements now. We've seen some emergency declarations and states of emergency. What does it all mean?
What people probably don't realise is that most countries in the world, certainly most democracies, have public health acts or health acts which give great power to the chief medical officer. In fact, often more power to the chief medical officer than the minister of the day. These states of emergency give the chief medical officers quite extraordinary abilities, similar to what you saw, in fact, in China. They can lock people up if they're not behaving. We would tend not to do that, but you can actually forcibly isolate people if they are perceived to be deliberately spreading or putting the rest of the public at risk. It opens the door for those activities, and I wouldn't expect them to be needed because Australians are highly responsible people, but it opens the door for that for the chief medical officers or health officers.
And I suppose for a virus like this where we don't have a vaccine yet and the treatments are limited, it doesn't seem irrelevant to be able to do some of those things if needed.
We've said this probably every day on the CoronaCast. The only thing that will control this virus, well, there are two things. The main thing that will control it is social distancing, which we'll probably talk about again today, and finding cases, in other words, finding people who've got the infection, really mass screening, mass testing, which we're not yet doing in Australia. Some countries are. And then for every person you find with the infection, tracing aggressively the people that they've come into contact with over the previous day or 2 days, which is one reason why you ban mass gatherings. So mass gatherings should be banned for two reasons. One is they're mass gatherings and you're more likely to come across somebody in a mass gathering who's got the infection. But the second reason is if you catch it at, say, a football match, finding the contacts is almost impossible because it could be any one of the 40,000 people at that venue. So you've got to be able to trace these contacts. So those two things together control the virus. And sometimes you've got to be tough to get it through.
We start every CoronaCast with some answering of your questions. Send them in by going to abc.net.au/coronavirus. Now, one of the big questions that's coming through from the past few days is that we've now got enforced quarantine for all incoming travellers. Will it work? And what about people who are travelling domestically within Australia?
So let's start with the quarantine. There's been a bit of a mixed message, and I've been guilty of this myself. They started talking about isolation, self-isolation of people coming in from overseas. Isolation is actually about when you've got the infection and you are put into a hospital or another facility to stay away from people who are not infected so that you don't spread it to your own family or a cluster around you. So that's really what isolation is about. I know it's confusing. Quarantine is actually making sure that you are held in a safe place, you're otherwise healthy, just in case you come down with the disease. And after a period of time, if you haven't come down with the disease, you're allowed out into the general community. And so what Australia has done, what New Zealand has done, and some other countries has done is to say, if you come in from overseas, you've got to be quarantined for 14 days.
Yeah. And
you asked about domestic travel. I mean, there's all sorts of questions that come up for this. What happens? I get off the plane, I get through customs. What happens then? Well, I think you just got to be pragmatic that you're taken home and put into quarantine. And the fact of the matter is that that's the way it is. Now, the rest of the family doesn't get put into quarantine. It's just you keeping being isolated from the rest of the family in your own room with your own towel, dishes and what have you. So as much as possible, you've got to be away from the people that you live with. If you're in a share flat, very hard to do. The young kids, hard to do, but you've got to try and do the best there. People are asking about domestic travel. You asked about it a moment ago. I think that the general principle here now is that I think the government, at least in Australia, I'm not sure about other governments, are a bit behind here. They're just sort of waiting, I think, a little bit too long. And I think international experts would probably agree. And you've really got to avoid going into spaces where you're going to come into contact with a lot of other people unless you have to. And so that means staying at home much more. And we've, you know, I know it's going to be devastating, but we probably do need to shut down cafes and bars and cinemas and theatres and so on, and only travel if you absolutely have to. And it's not because you're going to pick it up in another state and bring it back to your home state. It's more that the more that you travel, the more you're exposed to other people, the more you're likely to become infected. It's just a statistical thing.
So on that, we've heard about large gatherings being cancelled, anything more than 500 people. I wouldn't say that if I was having a party at my place that 500 people would come necessarily. Maybe they would. I've got a lot of friends. Mm-hmm. But like, how far do we take this? Should we be trying to cut down on gatherings of smaller than that in our own lives?
Yes. That is really what should happen. We need to change our behaviour now. Every day that goes by, things are happening to this virus and the community in terms of it multiplying. Every day counts. And so Tony Fauci and senior person in the World Health Organization, basically they say the same things. Time counts. You've got to act decisively and act in a major way. Get it done now. Apologise later and not be regretful. The worst thing that could happen is nothing happens. Mm. And you say, well, nothing's happened. Well, that's great. You know, that is really good news that nothing happened. It meant prevention works. And it was worth the effort. But we've all got to change our behavior to do that. And that does mean, you know, if you're having a wedding, I'm sorry, probably not.
Wow.
If you are going to a wedding or you've got these clubs coming together, we've just got to stop all that. This is an extraordinary moment in time which we haven't experienced for 102 years in Australia and other countries. You know, and the experience goes back hundreds of years to pre-scientific medicine times. We've known about what to do for this for hundreds of years, and that's what we've got to do. And we're going to have to change the way we live, and it may be for months and months and months. This is going to be a year. I'm calling it the year of the plague. It's not as bad as the plague, but it is a year which we will remember for the rest of our lives, because it will profoundly change the way we live. And we're profoundly changing the way we live to protect ourselves, but to protect the community at large as well.
On each episode of CoronaCast, we try to include some of the new research that's coming out. And we haven't really heard as much about kids and the virus as we have about older adults. But there's some new research that's indicating that kids might be able to pass it on.
This is yet another small study. I have to say that every time we talk about this. This is early days. We don't have large studies. Anybody listening to the CoronaCast should just take it with a little bit of a pinch of salt, because it could change. But this is one of the few studies that's come out of children and just seeing what's happened. So these were children. It's in Hubei province in China, and it was children who were picked up not because they turned up at the hospital sick, it was because they were contacts of people who were COVID-19 or SARS-CoV-2 positive and had COVID-19. So about 10 children. So this is a study of those 10 children. None of them got terribly sick. They had runny nose, they had seven had fever. Interestingly, three had diarrhea. And none needed respiratory support. Their chest x-rays were pretty much normal. And so they had an unremarkable course, which is great news. So the interesting thing is that their throat swabs started to get negative after about 2 weeks. But their rectal swabs, in other words, taking a swab from their rectum, was positive for up to nearly 4 weeks. Well, you know, certainly 3.5 weeks.
Okay, that's a long time.
Sorry, it is nearly 4 weeks. I'm sorry, I just looked at the data. And so that is a long time. And in adults, the evidence so far is that the most people, so the bulk of people who get infected have a positive swab for about 3 weeks, some people longer and shorter, but that's where most people land. And here, it went out to nearly 4 weeks with some of these kids. So the main message for this is that in this group, it confirms the data that most, in this sample, they didn't get too sick. They had typical things, but they did have some gastro symptoms, and the stools remained positive for quite some time. And so this means that children anyway, but probably adults too, may be able to pass this virus by what's called the fecal-oral route. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't got adequate hygiene, in the toilet, and kids, it's very, very difficult, as you know, Tegan, then they can contaminate food and people can could catch the virus from the food. That's the theory here. And this is one reason why you would certainly think about shutting down preschools and schools, because the potential here is for children to be spreaders. So this is reassuring in some senses, but also a cautionary tale if it's true in the larger picture. Small study early on might be contradicted later. I'm sorry I'm sounding like a broken record with that on CoronaCast, but I don't want to mislead you.
That's Dr. Norman Swan there, telling it like it is. And you'll be hearing him with health reporter Tegan Taylor each weekday as we play episodes of their podcast, CoronaCast. And if you've got a question you'd like them to tackle, head to abc.net.au/coronavirus and send it in. You can also find the CoronaCast series on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.